So good to see everybody this morning. Hope that the worship has been pleasing to God and uplifting to you as well. I love hearing our babies crying. To have life in the congregation is such an important thing, and to have so many babies after not having any for a while is just quite a treat. We've actually even ordered a new baby table. We have six seats, so we've got room for at least three more. So whether y'all want to, just keep that in mind, I guess. Appreciate the joy that Dale always has in the song leading service. I apologize to him. He got stuck in one verse from the coffin. I had not noticed whether we were on the third or the fourth verse, so we just let them all flail, which is really a mean thing to do. But appreciate again, there's a joy when he leads singing. I appreciated the table this morning and the comments that were made as we went through what I believe to be the most important part of our week, the opportunity to take of the Lord's Supper, to share it together in a communion. We're very blessed. I have to say, this is a bonus lesson for y'all today, because I was supposed to retire on Friday. And when I say retire, I mean just step down from preaching. But the way things worked out, I still have a few more weeks before we get as LaVon Harmon would say, a real preacher. And we're looking forward to that. But what a privilege it has been to be able to preach here. I cannot tell you what it's like to have encouragement and love and just the fellowship that we enjoy. Remember that for the next preacher. He will need it as well. But you've given me that gift for 27 years. I was about to say 2,700 years. Only seems that long for y'all. But what a blessing it has been. I want to start with an important thought, and then I want to go to something that is also equally important, but that defines what we have as Christians. And why it's so important, whether we're brand new like Lydia is this morning, or whether we're approaching the end as we, each one of us does day by day. We have nothing but good things to look forward to if we do God's things in His way. 2 Peter chapter 3 talks about what if we don't. And it's just really a reminder for us to keep in mind that we need to be thinking about the right things, because there is going to be an end to all this temporarily. And then in eternity. Peter starts off by saying in chapter 3, verse 1 of 2 Peter, "Dear friends," this is a letter that's inspired by the Holy Spirit. And yet Peter gets to insert something that is a personal note. "Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I've written both of them as a reminder to stimulate you to wholesome thinking." One of the reasons that we read the Word of God is we need to be stimulated to wholesome thinking. It seems like we live in a world of, as Zig Ziglar terms it, stinking thinking, where people are just they're just always thinking of the negative. And they're always being brought down, and nothing is ever to their satisfaction. They always see the storm cloud on the horizon bringing disaster instead of a refreshing rain. Peter, through inspiration, writes this to stimulate us all to wholesome thinking. "I want you to recall the words in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. First of all, you must understand in the last days," we have lived in the last days since Christ rose from the dead, "in the last days scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They'll say, 'Where is this coming he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation.' But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. Have you ever thought how ridiculous some of our scientists' attempt to discover the foundation or the beginning of life is? They even invented something a few years back called a superconducting super collider, and it wasn't underwater. They understand nothing about the basics of this world that they're trying to explain everything about. God formed this water by water and out of water, and he brought it into being by just his word. By these waters also the word of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and the destruction of ungodly men. One of the reasons that we need to be godly is because the ungodly will be destroyed. Now, that's not the main reason. The benefits for being godly are incredible, and we're going to talk about that. We were in this last week, if you've been following along with the readings in the bulletin, we came across a passage, or you came across a passage, that just asked the question, how can I repay the Lord for all the good he has done for me? We're a blessed people, but there's going to be a day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends, with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord's not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. There are times where we get really impatient with ungodly men, where we see what they're doing and we sometimes wonder, why doesn't God do something about them? Maybe it's like he was towards us before we repented. He's giving them a chance. And when we find ourselves drifting, well, he gives you another chance. Are you taking that? Verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. We need to keep this in mind as far as there really is going to be a day of reckoning. But for those who accept the covenant that God has given to us, that day of reckoning is not for us. As a matter of fact, the judgment day for us will be a gift of something we do not deserve. And that's what I want to look at this morning. This life that God has given to us, if we will try and do our best to do his things in his way, is really good. I was talking to Kyla before services started this morning. Her and Zach are going to get to go to a horse show next week at College Station. I don't really understand horse shows, to tell you the truth. but for those who have a passion for it, it's something else. Isn't it wonderful? As a matter of fact, she told me that I asked her, was that the last one? She said, no, I'm going to the world. And I said, oh, Zach's not getting to go to the world championship? No, he's got cotton ginning. I can't tell you what my excuse is for not going to the world championships, but it's something. When we moved here, the first week we were here, I walked into the gym because they used to leave it unlocked because they used to could. And played against two big old fellas. Matter of fact, one of them was Justin and Yancey's brother. And I had just gotten through having my shoulder put back together, and Yancey and Justin's brother landed on my shoulder. and being Yancey and Justin's brother, a Dempsey, raised by Joe, Bill, and Glenda, he smiled and he reached down and he picked me up and said, are you all right, sir? And I think the reason he was smiling is because he knew he was about to do it again. But I love basketball. I haven't been able to play it for about 10 years now. My knees retired before I was quite ready. I get to preach on Sundays. When I was a kid, I used to think, I love baseball, and I used to think, what could be better than playing in the major leagues? to get paid to do something that you love? And I found the answer to that. Preaching. I get paid to dig into the Word of God, to find treasures, and then to get up on Sunday mornings and Sunday evenings and show everybody what I found, which you've already found yourself 90% of the time, but it's still fun to look at that. What a great gift God has given to us. We get to enjoy life. I loved what Guy was talking about in class, several of the things, as a matter of fact. But he was talking about when he and Clay were in fifth and sixth grade and they were playing basketball. And Clay was not only their last line of defense, he was their first line of defense. And he would stay back. And when the ball came down, they had to get past Clay. And the only thing I could think about, and I told Clay this afterward, it was him standing there saying, "Do you have a little Debbie? Because if you do not, you shall not pass." For the righteous, this is a good life. Even in the little things, the physical things, the daily things. Oh, but in the big things, the spiritual things. Look at what we have. The 121st Psalm. By the way, if you have been following along and you read this morning, this was the first thing you read. "I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from?" This is Psalms 121, verse 1. "My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." We were talking about working on the house and how nice it was to have good help. Our help is from the Creator. Regardless of what you find yourself in, what hole you find yourself in, whether you've dug it or somebody dug it for you, our help comes from the Creator. The only one who knows exactly what you're going through before you ask, but He knows how to solve it before you ask, and He has the power to take care of it and give you the help that is right for you to have in getting out of it. "My help comes from the Lord, the maker of the heaven and the earth." There's nothing better. "He will not let your foot slip." When I was younger, I cannot really explain it, but if there was a tree, I had to climb it. And if there was some kind of a cliff or something, I had to climb it. I didn't do it to show off. I always did it by myself, because if I fell, nobody was there to laugh at me. But like I say, it was almost inexplicable. It was almost an affront. If there was a tree there, it had to be climbed. It could not get the better of me. Some of you understand that old line, why do men climb mountains? And the answer, the correct answer, is because it's there. Carolyn says, when you ask why do men climb mountains, she says, because they're stupid. And I'm not really sure I could answer that. But the thing I had to watch the most when I was climbing a tree or the side of a cliff or something like that was my feet slipping. My hands were okay. They were right in front of my eyes, but my feet were down below. And anybody that's climbed high heights, you know, if you look down, you can get vertigo. And so you have to be careful with your feet not slipping. When it comes to this life and the pitfalls that are in this life, which Satan has put out for us, there's a lot of slippery slopes. He will not let your foot slip. The only way that you will ever slip is if you determine you're going to slip, or if you put yourself in a position to where you can expect to slip, because God will not allow it to happen. One of the reasons this is such a good life is this. You are going to heaven if you decide to, and you are guaranteed heaven if you will do God's things in God's way, obey His covenant. And the only thing that can keep you from going to heaven is if you decide at some point not to. Either through default, where you just stop following Him and you just stop thinking about it, or intentionally, I know this is wrong, I'm going to do it anyway. But barring leaving God, you are going to heaven, and there is nobody that can prevent you from going to heaven. One of the reasons that we read the Word of God is so that we can know what He has said to us to make sure that our foot does not slip, so that spiritually we're alive. This is a good life. And God will not let your foot slip. He will not allow you to accidentally go to hell or to allow somebody to step in your way between him and salvation. It will not happen. You have to do that. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel, we're spiritual Israel, will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. Those of you who are parents and have been for any length of time will understand this. There are times where our kids are sick. Our kids always got sick, and we were before the days of all these Instacares and everything like that. And so either you took your child to the emergency room, which was worse sometimes than whatever they had, or you waited till the doctor opened the next day. And our kids always got sick at about 6 o'clock in the evening. And there would be times where we would just stay awake at night, just on edge all night long, waking up at the slightest sound and checking on them because we wanted to make sure they were okay. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. He who watches over you will neither slumber nor sleep. One of the reasons this life is so good is because God has a vested interest in you. He loves you even more than parents love their children. Good parents love their children. He wants us to do good, and he's watching for us. And don't you know that he aches when you sin? In Genesis, when God is about to bring the flood on the world and is starting to get all these things going with Noah, he looks upon the sin of men, and there's a point where it says he observed that every thought of man was only evil all the time. And it said it grieved God that he created them, that he made them. Our sins grieve God. If you are callous in some way and you think, well, my sins don't affect anyone and you just don't care about other people, that's fine. I suppose that's your prerogative. But understand, your sins grieve him. We don't ever want it to get to the point where he's grieved that he made us. He watches over us. He's your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. I realize physically we can suffer harm. Some of y'all are sitting there with different aches and pains and physical ailments that are indeed harm. He's speaking spiritually here. Your soul is bulletproof. He will keep you from all harm spiritually. That changes the way we live. If you look at my hands closely, you'll see there's still a spot or two where I have not yet hit it with a hammer or a board or something. I'm working to remedy that because I've still got a little work to do. Physically, there will be things that will happen to us. But even physically, he will protect us where we need to be protected. But spiritually, nobody can touch you. It's one of the most wonderful promises we have been given. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. We're going to heaven, and it's a good life on the way. We can have more fun, more pure and rightful fun to have. We can have more joy, the fruit of the Spirit, than we can imagine. Even during difficult times, we can have joy. God has given us everything. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going, both now and forevermore. In the 112th Psalm, it says, "Praise the Lord." I appreciated the psalm that Guy shared in Bible class this morning. It was the 147th Psalm, and it was a psalm of praise. When you get to the end of Psalms, the end of the 145th Psalm says, "Praise the Lord." And then from that point forward, it's just his praise to God. Do you spend time in praise to God? Or are you like me sometimes where most of your prayers are, "Gimme, gimme, 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 gimme"? I wonder if sometimes God doesn't look down upon us and all He sees is us sitting there with a sign that says, we'll work for food, when we really won't. When we talk about our relationship with God, it has to be something much more than just asking Him for things and for help. There needs to be a continual giving of praise to Him. When you read the 148th Psalm, it just starts out with just about one thing and goes through everything just about in creation that should give praise to the Lord. And it sums it up in the 150th Psalm in verse 6 by saying, let everything that has breath praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Sometimes we miss that, and sometimes because of that, we miss out on the happiness. Can you imagine going to a ball game, especially if one of your kids is playing and they're doing good? And when they do good, instead of cheering, you just sit there. Or when you go to a horse show or a pig show or whatever show you want to go to, a hair show I heard somebody talk about one time, but it didn't have anything to do with Dolly Parton. It had to do with something, I think, with calves. But they're also, can you imagine going to something and doing well and just sitting there silently? Why is it that when we've been given eternal life, that when we wake up in the morning and we know we have the hope of eternal life, that expectation that when we die, we get to go to heaven, why don't we praise Him? Why instead do we just immediately go into the gimme, 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 gimme? We cannot do that. God is worthy of praise. And because of this good life, how can we do anything else? We started in 2 Peter chapter 3, and I want to end there as well. After verse 10 says, the day of the Lord will come like a thief. In verse 11 it says this, since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives. The only way you can be holy is if your sins are washed away. There's no other way. And once your sins have been washed away, the only way you can be holy is by continually walking in the light. And if you've stopped that, you need to repent and get back into the light, into living God's way. We ought to be holy and godly. It doesn't say for us to be our own gods. It tells us to be godlike. In those areas that we can be like God, we are commanded to do so. You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed His coming. Do you dread the day of your death? Now, I have to admit, I like this physical world so much, and not the sinful part, but I like the physical thing so much. I'd like to be here for a lot longer. I don't dread going home early. I want to be here to help my family. I want to encourage my grandkids. I want to see them on the path to heaven. I think they've got a really good start with their parents. But do you look forward to the day of God? If you don't, maybe your vision is in the wrong place. As we look forward to the day of God and speed its coming, that day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with His promise, we're looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. The beauty of this life is this. If you will walk in the light, if you will live for God, He's going to give you a really good life. You will have your set of challenges. And you can allow those challenges to make you miserable if you want. But if you can keep first things first, if you can keep this fact that you live for God, that God is helping you and you're going to heaven, it's a good life and then there's eternity. What more could we ask? Are you ready for that? The invitation's open. If you need to respond, please do that while we stand and sing.